Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in. With me this morning in the studio is a very special friend and ministry partner of many years. Joining me is Dr. Jeff Victor, founder and president of Summit Bible College right here in Bakersfield. Sir, good to see you.
Good to see you, Phil. Good to be here.
Great to have you. You and I, actually, we have known one another for many, many years. I think we met not soon after Summit Bible College began, because you had invited me to come and share testimony and teaching about a God that restores from the brokenness of same-sex attraction, with a couple of settings specifically targeting Christian leaders. You remember those meetings?
Definitely do. Back in the late 90s, yeah.
Yeah, it was some time ago. I had the privilege then of sharing once again about what God has done in my life. And given that it was many, many years ago, and certainly things have changed a bit, not only in the world, but also in the Church of Jesus Christ regarding the whole subject matter of homosexuality. The view from where you sit, Dr. Victor, how would you say we, the Church, are doing in terms of speaking to this subject, which in many respects I would label a crisis, again, not only in the world, but equally in the Church of Jesus Christ?
Yes, I like to go by statistics, and George Barna has done some studies on different areas like that, and the church really adapts to the world too much. They take on a view that, it's okay, and God forgives them, God loves them. Well, God does love people. God yes. loves everyone, yes. you know, and God knows how they are created and so forth. But the thing is that the biblical views need to be stayed with. You know, we need to stay on the biblical view and not the worldview. The worldview is different, and it's not based on truth. It's just based on popularity, and it changes with the wind.
So. Absolutely. At some point when I'm talking with really anyone about the whole subject matter of homosexuality, we always come full circle back to the truth and the authority of Scripture. And I have found, as I know many, many others, you yourself, within the totality of Scripture, every time Scripture points to the subject matter of homosexuality, it is always offered in the context of a behavior, not unlike many others, which God has clearly said in His Word, that no man or no woman is to practice. Would you agree?
Definitely. Yeah, and there's no question about it. It's not even a theological debate there. It's in black and white. You know, that's why the Word is written. We have revelation from God, too, and God gives us revelation in speaking to to people that He knows. He spoke to me. God spoke to me before I was saved in oh. one way or another, you know, and events that happened in my life, I could see God was trying to help me or get me out of the sin I was in. I wasn't in the sin of homosexuality, but I was in other sins. One sin is as bad as another when you look at it that way, you know, and God was doing things with me in dreams, like prophetic dreams,
wow.
and that I didn't understand what they meant, you know, very much. And but I knew something was up, and God was trying to tug at my heart to show me what truth was. And then when I looked into the Word in black and white, what was there in black and white, then I realized how it all does line up. Everything lined up together.
Absolutely.
You know? And so it's so good to have it in black and white, to have it written down. Jesus said that quite a bit too. He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And the reason why it is written is once a thing is written, it becomes established, whether it's good or bad.
Yes.
But when you look at the Bible, it says in, I think it's 2 Timothy, it's either 2 Timothy 4:2, I'd have to look it up, but it says that all Scripture is inspired by God. And that's what a lot of people don't understand if they don't have a relationship with God. They look at it as if it's a history book, or they look at it as if it's passé. They look at it as if it's not applicable.
Yes.
And a lot of times they can't discern it because the word cannot be discerned unless you have a spiritual heart.
Yes.
And it really comes from a humble heart to understand God and to know what he's really saying.
Absolutely.
But when we read that written word, we know that we get revelation knowledge from God.
Yes.
And it's more than what the world tries to tell us. The world tries to tell us everything's okay.
Yes.
Everything under the sun's okay. But we know that the Word of God is trying to tell us what the truth is and to hold back on the things that you normally would think are okay and have some kind of a guard on your heart, because some of those things that you think may be okay may be destructive to your own soul.
Yes. You're speaking once again about the truth of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I recall in my own life going back 30, 31 years ago when I surrendered my life to Christ, I entered church really for the first time in my life, and I began to really just read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible. And not being an individual that was raised in church or even a family Christian environment, I saw very, very clearly there was no question that God was saying very, very definitely in his word that homosexual practice in his eyes is not acceptable. Which puzzles me today, because it seems that more men and women today are saying, well, you know, we've arrived at a place now where we're embracing a more enlightened version of Scripture. And I don't understand that. How about you?
Well, I think that if you look at the context of mankind in general and just human nature, there's a lot of things that are hypocritical that people allow today. It's not just the issue of homosexuality. For example, justification for stealing. You know, well, I'm poor and I don't have anything, so I'm going to steal. You know, you can justify anything you want, you know, and is murder acceptable? Well, it is under certain conditions to someone who's always, you know, rationalizing everything. So, you know, human nature is that if I'm doing something that is not approved by someone or something, God included, I'm going to find a way to make it okay in my own heart.
Yes.
And so just typical human nature, rationalizing things. And I think that's what I liked the best about the Gospels when I read the Gospel. And I'm from a Jewish background. Hmm. So, you know, as soon as I received Jesus as the Messiah, we call Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. Yeshua is the Messiah that was promised by God to save us from our sins. As soon as I said that to my family, I became Meshumed. Meshumed means I was dead. They weren't accepting of me anymore. Get out of my house. Get out of my house. You're dead. Mm-hmm. You're dead. You no longer exist. Well, the reason I read the Scriptures and the reason my heart was open to the Scriptures is I wanted to know the truth. And when I looked at it from a historical level, when not only were the disciples writing about Jesus, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, not only were they writing about Jesus in a historical way, I look to some of the historical events of that time, the thing about crucifixion and how that was really popular with the Romans. I looked at some of the historians like Josephus, and there were several others too.
Right.
And they had to write the truth of what was happening. If they didn't write what was true for the Roman government, they would have been killed. It was a rule by might. You have to know a little bit about history. So when I read the Gospels, I thought of all the things he said, and I thought, that is accurate. If he would have done that, even in a Jewish culture, Jesus saying he was God is blasphemy. And for the leaders, for the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanting to kill him, that would be normal, because he's saying he's God and he's disturbing the people. And yet the Bible says not that he didn't do anything that really qualifies for a death sentence.
Wow.
So when I read that as a Jew on a historical level and a factual level and a logical level, I realized something. Hey, we've got something here.
Wow.
You know, this is bigger than it is. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than what I believe. It's truth. And so no matter what your background is, no matter what your sin is, and in God's eyes, sin is sin.
So you yourself experienced some rejection, kind of being abandoned by family because of your profession of faith to Christ. And heaven knows today there are still men and women, when they announce their issue of same-sex attraction, especially, unfortunately and tragically, within Christian families, when they announce the fact that they are attracted to the same sex, many of these men and women are rejected and shunned by family, which grieves me tremendously, because I'm concerned that still too often today, especially even in the church, the subject of homosexuality is often reduced to an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, this is not about an issue. This is about people,
mm-hmm.
people whom God loves and people for whom Jesus died. And let's take this a step further. If family members are going to reject, that individual might be inclined to think, well, God probably will reject me also.
Right. Well, you know, if you look at it in a bigger perspective, too, there's a lot of things you're saying there. So, you know, one thing at a time. Rejection, just as a principle, if we take that just by itself, I received a whole lot more rejection before I received rejection for Jesus. When I was younger, my parents divorced. We were castigated all the time. My mother raised us. She's a very aggressive woman. And a lot of the Jewish women are aggressive, by the way. You know, they're really just very aggressive and condescending and critical a lot of times. At least my mother was. Typical bitter woman, very, very mean-spirited even. And she beat us when we were kids quite a bit. And so when you get that kind of rejection, when you don't do something wrong, basically, as a kid, I was beaten sometimes, and I didn't even do anything wrong out of either emotion from my mother or accusing me of something that my brother did.
Hmm.
Not to feel sorry for myself, but rejection in itself was something that I was acquainted with, and I didn't let rejection disturb me from knowing truth. And a lot of people don't do that. People take rejection to another level. They think of rejection, like for example, family members, like you said, if someone declared that they are homosexual and then the family rejects them because of that, they take that as a personal slight.
Yes.
Because they lost their family, so to speak. When my family rejected me because I received Jesus as my Messiah, it only fortified the fact that they could not see the truth.
Mm.
And so you have to have a little bit more understanding, a little depth of character to understand why is it rejection happening and what is the source of it and where is it going? Where are we going with this thing? My wife and I had one of our sons that declared he was homosexual. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why you wanted me on the broadcast today. I don't know if it was or not. But
in part, yes.
Okay. But he felt rejection from us. Because we did not approve of what he did, we still loved him unconditionally. So if he lived that lifestyle, you know, that's his choice. And we're praying for him to this day, you know, to receive the fullness and the truth of the Word of God. So he would have felt rejection, and he did feel rejection, whether we approved of him or not. And I think there needs to be a differentiation with that.
Yes.
You can believe in someone and love someone. That doesn't mean you agree with everything they're doing.
Absolutely.
And that's a problem in our society, too. You know, it's like I'm an educator, and that's my background, and I have a bachelor's degree in education in English. I have a master's degree in education. I have a doctorate in education. I have a theology degree, too, in there in my doctorate level. But my point is this, is that in education, we know that the tables or the pendulum always switches from left to right, goes back and forth. Our community is very close to us as educators, and we look at our community and what our community wants when we work with their children. And we see this enabling that's going on right now in our children. It's ridiculous. Everybody has to get an A. Everybody has to be praised. Everybody has to be told how wonderful they are. Nobody can make fun of anyone anymore, and it's so politically manipulated. It's a social engineering is what's gone on.
Yes.
I mean, I was red-haired and freckled when I was a kid. I got teased like you couldn't believe it, and I had a stepdad, so I was the typical stepson that was beaten, you know, a red hair and freckle face. But, you know, it either makes you bitter or it makes you better, and I got better because of it. You know, I went through some problems, emotional problems, before I got saved. I'll admit that.
Yes.
But my point is that are you a truth seeker? Do you really, are you just getting offended at everybody rejecting you? And because of that, is there a knee-jerk reaction from that? And now your life is really chaotic and you don't know what's right. So you go to the group for support. A lot of the homosexuals go to homosexual groups for support. Oh, buddy, you're good, you're good, you're good, buddy, you're good, you're good, you're good, buddy. But are you speaking truth? You know, and that I've seen that with my son. My son has gone through drug rehabilitation programs. He's going through NA meetings, and he goes at night, you know, because he's had a problem with that issue, too, which is prevalent in the homosexual community, too.
Unfortunately, yes.
Because of the emotional backlash and all the other issues. But
you know, you're bringing a very, very, very important point to this conversation. There is a world of difference with regard to people. Mm-hmm. There is a difference between acceptance and approval. We accept all people because they're here, because God designed that they would be here. But it doesn't mean that we have to approve of certain behaviors or how people have chosen to live their lives. But we always, as Christians, we always accept people, because in the twinkling of an eye, with the various habits, addictions, and compulsive behaviors today that many men and women are combating, things can change overnight through Christ.
Yes.
And it concerns me with regard to homosexuality that there's a lot of individuals today questioning, is change even possible? Well, I see very clearly in Scripture, God says with him all things are possible. I see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, which contains some of the sweetest words in the entire Word of God. The verse says, and this is what some of you were, past tense, that God has, he is, and I believe he will continue to set men and women free from the bondage of same-sex attraction, because it was never his intention that anyone live that particular behavior. Agree?
Yes. Something you said, too, is important. The Bible really forbids gossip, you know, and gossip's very prevalent. I mean, people say it even in a loving way. They say, oh, yeah, but she's this, she's a that, or he's a this, he's a that. And they gossip comes out of their mouth so flowingly, and they try to put a twist on it. But I like them, but even though they're talking about them bad. And what's a part of human nature is that we look at people as never changing. We look at people as if that's the way they are, that's the way they're born, they're never going to change, like you were saying. And in the case of homosexuality or anything, we need to give people encouragement and a wide berth, so to speak, a place of, let's say that, look, at any time God can be moving and changing their life. Even if people are, quote-unquote, doing well and there's nothing wrong, people talk about you.
Yes.
And even if a guy or a gal is a real nice person and they are picture-perfect great, you know, they don't do anything wrong in any area to anyone, people talk about them. It's because we want to classify, and we want to program, and we want to put people in boxes, and there's a little bit of negativity that's thrown in there, and there's offenses that happen.
Right.
And so then we box them in, and really, to tell you the truth, it becomes a curse, because out of your mouth becomes fresh water, which is a blessing. When you say to someone, God bless you, I love you, and if you ever need me, call me.
Yes.
Or let's get together for lunch. All these are blessings that come out of your mouth. But on the same side, people allow the garbage to come out of their mouth about other people, which is really wrong. And the Bible really classifies it in the same category as murder. When you say things about someone and gossip about them, you're killing them. You're actually adding to the fire. So someone like my son or anyone else, you can look at him. And there's people in my family that says, oh, he's born homosexual, Dad, get used to it. He's going to die homosexual. He's always going to be homosexual. I go, no, I don't see him that way at all. I see him born as a child of God. He was a lovely little child when he was a kid. By the way, he got raped, you know, so that kind of enters into the picture, you know. Someone took advantage of him. Do you think that changed his thinking a little bit?
And yes.
Yes. And so, you know, how even when a woman gets raped, she sometimes thinks that she brought it on herself, which isn't true at all. But she believes that because the flesh does take attraction to other people in a normal way. And especially in our culture today, there's a same-sex attraction because people are talking about it more, and so it's in their mind.
Yes.
And so even a teenager can say, well, maybe I'm a homosexual. You know, maybe it's same-sex attraction. But there's a natural attraction that even a man and a woman have for each other, even if they're not married. If a man walks in a room and a woman's there and she's a beautiful woman, sometimes you just go, wow, that gal just knocks me off my feet, you know, and the gal looks at you and that gaze in the eyes, we see it in the rom-coms, you know. The gal looks back at the guy and goes, wow. So they're starstruck right there. That's kind of normal. It's when you take it to the next level.
Exactly.
and you make something out of it, and maybe they're both married, or maybe this, maybe that's happening, and maybe it's inappropriate in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they took what's naturally happening and they made it into a spiritual issue. They wanted to combine forces, so to speak, or they wanted to come together.
I like your expression that we need to give people a wide berth.
Yes.
And I'll use myself as an example again. When I surrendered my life to Christ, I entered into a process. We start talking about process, we're always talking about an element of time. In these past 23 years as director of His Way Out Ministries, the many, many men and women that I've sat across from talking on the subject matter, at some point in the conversation, they're always going to say, I really can change? Yes, you can, because God says you can change. And I guarantee you, the very next question out of his or her mouth is going to be, how long is this going to take?
Right.
And God works differently from person to person to person. And let's just really say it the way it is. And again, I'll use myself. When I surrendered to Christ, I entered into a process, and I came to him with a whole lot of excess baggage. In other words, I didn't arrive at my broken place in life overnight, and all of the stuff was not going to be resolved overnight. Fair?
That's right. There's no question about it. You know, I had a born-again experience that hit me like a thud, and I repented. And I was listening to the Word of God a friend had brought to me. And it just hit me so hard. It was it was a little tape cassette in those days. That's how old I am. But going back over books like James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and you know, so forth, and to the book of Jude and so forth. And there was one scripture in the book of Peter that said, as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a man return to his sin. And I think it's taken from a proverb, because I remember reading that in the Proverbs also. That just hit me so hard, and I repented because I kept going back to my sin. I had no control over it. And the thing about the born-again experience, it just took a second for me to ask God into my heart. I said, if there's anything to this Jesus thing, I really want to know it. I need it.
Yes.
And I received it right then. It just hit me so hard. But it took me 6 years to come to that point, because there was a point in there where I was very, very sick. I got down to 150 pounds. I had what's called a hyperactive thyroid. I'm 6'3", and I was 6'3" then. And I was skin and bones, and my heart rate was about 150, 200 beats a minute if I even walked across the room.
Mm.
And it's a terrible problem to have a hyperactive thyroid. Your hands are shaking, your eyes are bulging, you know, and I was very, very sick. And so God healed me supernaturally in 1973, but I didn't get born again until 1979. So even the process of coming to the Lord takes time. And then you're right. Once you come into the Lord, I still had a lot of baggage.
Sure.
It took me forever. It seems like I was slow. One is I used so many drugs that my mind was really dull. It took me a long time. I was teaching school at the time. It's a miracle I could even teach school the way I was, either drunk or drugged, you know, whenever I could. And I was going through my life. I finally got saved. I was clean. I didn't want the drugs anymore. Didn't want the drinking anymore. Didn't smoke anymore. I was so glad when that smoking went away. It was like, thank you, Jesus, you know. Get that out of my life.
I relate to that one.
Yeah. And so here I am. I look good on the outside, and in a way I got cleaned up, so to speak, but God was dealing with me on the inside, and it was a great process, great process to see God slowly change me and slowly work with me. And I didn't have to be perfect. I have to throw that in there. And this is the thing that we hold to other people that's terrible. It's another curse that we put on their life. You know, by grace are we saved. There is a grace to God, and there is a place of forgiveness and acceptance. And God is willing to work with us right where we're at, and he knows how to do it just perfectly. So it's a wonderful thing.
I think ultimately where we have arrived today is that there are those that are stating that homosexual practice is okay with God. And when that occurs, when that statement is offered, faithful followers of Christ Jesus have to take a step back and say, I love you, I care about you, but when you say that homosexual practice has the blessings of Christianity, now we have a problem, because that contradicts Scripture and the very character of God. You agree?
Yes, I think the key word you said there is Scripture, the Bible. And I think that's why a lot of people don't want the Bible, or they want to change the Bible, but it was written in the Old Testament in Hebrew, and it's in Greek in the New Testament, and they found the Dead Sea Scrolls over 500 years written before Jesus's death, you know, and resurrection. So they're a historical record that cannot be changed. They're there. They are what they are. And it's been pristinely kept up. That's why God used the Jewish people. They memorized huge parts of the Bible. And so, you know, when you look at it and examine it at that level, people want to just throw it away. You know, throw it away, get rid of the Bible, or let's change it, because it really didn't mean
revise
that.
Revise it.
Yeah, let's revise it to the point where it doesn't really mean that. Right. But God put it down there for a reason. He knew that these certain things would be a bane to your soul. You know, whatever they are, not just homosexuality, whatever it is. And so the plumb line, or the thing that we measure off of, is the Word of God.
Absolutely. Dr. Victor, we are running very, very short on time. I am so glad that you could join me this morning. I really appreciate your input and your sharing from your own life as well. If you would like more information about Summit Bible College, please visit their website, which is summitbiblecollege.com. Once again, all of us at His Way Out Ministries, we greatly appreciate your tuning in. We are dedicated to raising awareness and equipping and educating the body of Christ to minister transformingly to men and women with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. For more information on His Way Out Ministries, please visit our website at hiswayout.com. Again, thanks so much for joining me this morning. Please join me next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.